Name of Jesus, the bread of life, the water that quenches every thirst. Amen. Amen. I trust that what he'll say through me today and what he'll say while I'm speaking, because he does that. Amen. You come to church, I mean, he can start talking to you about stuff that not even related to what's being talked about. But because you are in his presence, see, you are in his presence, and his spirit is moving, and he knows just what you have to hear, and so forth. So be expecting, those of you here and those watching, be expecting. Amen. Okay. This morning I got up to look over my notes, and something I saw last night, the Lord brought to my mind, and I'm going to talk to you about a little bit about that. If you're watching this, you know, you probably heard about the floods that have devastated some of our fellow Texans. And I was watching it on television, I was grieved. I was really grieved. And hearing the groans of the people as the flood waters took away cars and homes, and I thought, man. Of course, insurance companies call all those things an act of God, right? Oh, yeah. but that's anything but an act of God. You want to know what the acts of God are? Read Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21, 22. The rest of it is God working through us in the name of Jesus to fix it. You know, I heard groanings. People say, "Oh my God!" And I thought to me, "I wonder what God you're talking about. The God that is the reason for this that we're looking at, or the God that can fix it? The God that could have, if you had paid attention, would have made sure these flood waters don't take away your house." And this is real Christianity, right? But it sounds like it's radical Christianity, but it's actually real Christianity, where we're not victims, but we're victors. Where we don't lay around and let nature play havoc on us, but we tell it what to do, just like Jesus did. But you know, you talk about stuff like that to your ears of even Christians. It sounds like, oh, just being radical. You know, be real, Pastor. I'm being as real as I can be. Real Bible, that is. Jesus died to make us victors, not victims. Look at the book of Joshua. Let's start there. I don't know how long I'm going to go on this, but I'll go as long as the Lord leads me. Joshua chapter 10. Did you notice that God created the universe and then he created man? Put him in the garden. Put him to take charge of it. Subdue it, he said. Well, put your finger to go to Genesis 1. Remind you. That's what God said. Subdue it. I put it in your hands. Not it subdue you. You do the subduing. Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, make him just like us." Glory to God. As near as us as can. God made man so near as him that he could become man. Think of that. Huh? God can't become a lion. He cannot. Because lions are not in his class. But he made man so nearly like God that God could become a man. Therefore, the man can act like God. Didn't Jesus say that? The works that I do shall you do also? Did he not say that? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And it goes all the way back to how he was made, how man was made. Let us make man in our image. Just in case you missed it, he repeats that, doesn't it? After our likeness. Well, likeness and image are the same. Why is he saying it again? So we'll get it. That's why. Glory, 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 glory. If most of us only knew what we mean to him. Bible says we're the apple of his eye. He gave Jesus to come die for us. Imagine that. We must be worth a lot more than we think we are. Right? The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost had never parted. Never. There had never been any kind of distance between them. But that happened on account of us. The Father turned his back on his Son because of us. And we sit here on earth and act like victims instead of victors. Made in God's image. Made after his likeness. And then he said, let them have dominion. Dominate. Rule. Govern. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. Now, if you would have dominion over the fish of the sea, do you imagine it also includes the sea? Over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all of the earth. And that included all the physical parts of it. Not just the animals and the fish. That would include floods. If you haven't guessed it, that's where I'm headed with this. You have absolute, total control over floods in the name of Jesus. That threaten to damage your property as a believer. Now, you can sit on it, that authority, or you can exercise it. But it's my duty to remind you of it. Because I'll be held accountable if I didn't tell you about it. I've told you before, but every time I get a chance, I'm led to, I'm supposed to remind you of it. And over all the earth, of all of it, and over every creeping thing that creep upon the earth. Amen. We have dominion. We can use it or sit on it. I mean to use it. Don't know about you. I'm going to use dominion. Not after what Jesus went through to give me that dominion. I consider it an insult to the blood of Jesus to live like a victim when he died and paid a price to make me the victor. I consider that a slap in his face. Joshua chapter 10. Here is a man telling nature, the earth, right, what to do. Verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord. Now, point is, we don't do this because we are super duper all that in ourselves. Amen. We do that because of who we've been made.
Amen.
In his name. And so here, Joshua first talks to the Lord about it. It's in a battle. He wants more time. You know, I've said before, you can't make more time. Apparently you can. Because he did. My goodness. He wants more time, more daylight. So he talks to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And then he said in the sight of Israel. He didn't go say it in the corner somewhere. Afraid they might hear him say it. Just in case it doesn't happen. See, this stuff takes faith. And faith is bold. Faith is edgy. Faith lives on the edge. Too many of us Christians want to be comfortable, and live and walk by faith. Not gonna happen. There's an edge to it. There's a discomfort about walking by faith. Want to play safe and stay in the boat. Faith is walking on the water where Jesus is at. My goodness. So he said it loud. In the sight of Israel. Son! Imagine that. Talking to the son. Here's the man who knows his authority. Remember now, this is Old Testament. No near as good as what we have. Because of the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Makes a big difference. Son, I'm talking to you. The audacity to think he could tell the son what to do. But he had already had a conversation with the Lord about it. Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon. And thou, moon, you too, moon. Until I get done what I have to do here. My. And the sun stood still. And the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. 24 hours. Somebody say, yeah, but science doesn't prove that happened. Yeah. There are plenty of things science doesn't know yet. Did you know that? Science discovers what God has done. That's like saying a two-year-old doesn't know that, you know, you have to buy groceries before you can cook them. But they're going to find out. Amen? They are eventually going to find out. Science is behind. It's always behind. So it's going to be behind. They are discovering what already is. I mean, if you do the study, there are some indications about this, but I'm not going to go there. I already know there are things that science doesn't know yet. They're going to find out. I mean, you know, they tell you coffee is bad for you, and then they tell you it's good for you. Eggs are bad, and then they're good. Can't blame them. They're doing the best they can, but that you know. Did you know that long before you could approach the doors at HEB and they opened for you? Long before that, it already happened in the Bible. Did you know that? Book of Acts chapter 12, you read about it. Angel wakes Peter up, and when they approach the gate just opens. The gate opens to them. This is long ago, 2,000 years ago. HEB just did it just a few decades ago. So if you're looking to validate the Bible by the signs, you're going about it the wrong way, friend. It's the other way around. It is the other way around. Hallelujah. Whew. Verse 14. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man made in his image, a man made so close to him that he could become man. When this man speaks what? When this man speaks the will of God, it happens. If a man can speak to the moon and the sun, why couldn't you speak to flood waters? That's your homework. Amen. Why couldn't you? Is it God's will that the flood waters come pick your car and take it away? Is that God's will, you think? Take your house away? Is that God's will? No, of course not. So you would be in the same position Joshua was after he talked to the Lord. To declare. Notice it says, there's never been a day like this, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. Problem is, men of God are not voicing the will of God. And it's not happening because they're not voicing it. That's what's happening. That's the problem. They're not voicing it. God's will, but somebody has to speak it. Somebody has to declare it. Joshua had to declare it. So the Lord could hearken to it. Because it's his will anyway. So when Jesus came along and told us, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, he wasn't telling us. It didn't become that way when he told us that. It was already that way, and he was revealing that to us. Huh? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. If you can speak to mountains, why couldn't you speak to flood waters? I did. We live by body of water. And it was coming close. And first I was married, and I thought, you better do something about this. And I thought, I told it, not far enough. No more. Amen. I spoke to it. It's just nature. Well, you you have dominion over the earth, remember? You just read it. So like I said, it's my job to get these things across to you, and all of you listening over social media. If you don't operate in it, it's not my fault. I won't be held responsible for that. Okay, Book of Acts, chapter 20. Put your finger there. We'll come back to Joshua. Thank you, Lord. Book of Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 28. Paul is talking to a bunch of church leaders, ministers. He says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. That's what I'm doing. Feeding you this information, letting you know that you're not a victim when it comes to flaws or fires and anything else. That if you dare voice the will of God, he'll back you up. Amen. He'll back you up. He'll back you up. But it takes the boldness to do it. But that shouldn't be a problem. God is not a man that you should lie. You're not doing it because of who you are. You're doing it because of whose you are. And in his name. Carrying out his will. That's why Joshua said it loudly. In other words, he dealt with the fear of failure. What if I say it and it doesn't happen? See that? A fear. That's not even smart, is it? talk about floods. Why does God tell the floodwaters to stay away and they don't? Well, what's the difference that make, right? They were going to take your house away anyway. If you didn't say it, right? So if you said it doesn't happen, what have you lost? That you weren't going to lose to begin with. That doesn't even make sense. But fear will stop believers from standing up and declaring God's word. So that's amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Now Joshua wanted daylight. Now here is somebody else who is fighting in the night. It doesn't matter if he said it, night or day. Look at Genesis 14. There's Abraham. You remember Abraham? When he took his nephew away and he gathered. He was so blessed. He was able to raise an army from within his household. My goodness. Genesis 14. Look at verse 13. Those kings would have been better off had they not messed with Abraham, but they did. So he said, you guys have gone too far now. Genesis 14, 13. And there came one that had escaped and told Abraham, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, an Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abraham. And when Abraham heard that his brother, his nephew really, was taken captive, he armed and he trained his servants, born in his own house, 318. How much was his grocery bill? Makes no difference. Jehovah Jireh is his God. He's mine too. He's yours too if you just believe it. And he pursued unto Dan, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night. Why? Because that's what the Lord said to do. See, that's what the Lord said to do. That's why Joshua conferred with the Lord first and then told the sun and the moon what to do. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory, glory, glory. Now, we won't turn to these scriptures. But if you go to your concordance and look up inquire, if you put David inquired of the Lord, you'll be surprised how many scriptures come up. And so you don't go off and do these things without inquiring of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Getting the plan of action from, you know what? I just got prompted. Okay, look at 2 Samuel. See, I'm trying to hurry up so I can give you what I actually studied this morning, but but change your plans.
Amen, amen.
Change your plans. Some of us, sometimes we preachers, we study something all week long. We got to preach it. Then the congregation got to know how smart I am. No, we got to follow the law. Preachers listen to me on this, why I said that. Got to follow the Lord. He knows where the people are. It's for the people, not for you, after all. What does it? 2 Samuel chapter 2, look at verse 1. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord. Amen. So in times of tragedy, the first thing you want to do is inquire of the Lord. Don't let your emotions take over. Keep it in the spirit. And at times like that, like what we talked about earlier, speak in tongues, break out in the spirit, reconnect to the Lord. As you pray, listening, as to get your instructions. David inquired of the Lord, what shall I do? It's kind of like Jesus, here's the blind man in front of him, and he says, what can I do for you? Right? It's like, well, Jesus, he's blind. What do you do? What can you do for him? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? You know. Not because he doubts his ability. Where is this fellow at? Does he want an autograph or does he want healing? He inquired of the Lord, shall I go up the cities of Judah. The Lord said, yes. And then he inquired further, how shall I go up? Amen. Some of us take off before we've gotten all the instructions. How shall I go up? And he told him that too. And then if you do that study I just told you about, you find where he asked, shall I go? And the Lord said, no. Oh, go back, go around the guys. Don't attack them in a right up. Go behind them. You give instructions at times for that. In fact, if you leave by, if there's a river, a stream, anything near your home, don't wait until it's full of water, because, you know, apparently these folks were asleep when the flood waters came up. Settle it now. Go out and talk. No, ask the Lord how to do it, but settle it now. Talk to that water. Talk to that. Tell it, you will never come near my house. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Look at Mark chapter 4. So Joshua did it. Old Testament. But before you go there, look at Hebrews. Hebrews 8. We'll go to Mark in a little bit. Look at Hebrews 8. Let's remind you that our covenant is superior to the covenant Joshua was operating under. Hebrews chapter 8, look at verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator, talking about Jesus, of a better covenant established on better promises. So what we have, Joshua did not have. And if you talk to the moon, talk to the sun, because it's necessary, you can talk to anything. The earth, he put you in charge of the earth. Look at Mark 4. Here is he demonstrating that. Mark chapter 4. After instructing the people, preaching and teaching, it's time to go to another location. So, Mark chapter 4, verse number 34, number 35. Jesus says, the Bible says, and the same day when the evening was come, he said to his disciples, he gave them instructions, let us pass over unto the other side of this lake. And when they had sent the multitude, sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were with them other ships, little ships. And then all of a sudden, there's a great storm. Kind of like what happened late in Texas, right? Some of those folks were asleep in the night when that happened. And they got up and were crying and said, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. What if they had said? In the name of Jesus. There was a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Asleep on a pillow. God doesn't sleep, right? Bible says he neither sleeps or slumbers. Why is he sleeping? Because he's not acting as God. So what he's about to do, he's not going to do it as God. Which means you can't do the same. In his name. Oh yeah. He's asleep. God doesn't sleep. Why is he sleeping? Because he's not acting like God. He never ceased to be God. But he did nothing on this earth as God. Not a thing. Not a thing. Not a single thing did Jesus do as God. Even though he never ceased to be God. That's why he said the things that I do, you can. You too can do it. Sit on the pillow, they woke him, say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know how it is when you're in a deep sleep, man. Somebody wakes you up. You are borderline irritated.
Jesus. But well, he's Jesus, he never sinned. If it was you, it was me, you might say that every bit later. And he arose and he rebuked the wind. Here's a man talking to the wind. Why couldn't you talk to the wind? If you can talk to the wind, why can't you talk to floodwaters? Or fire. Wildfire suddenly come around your place. You tell it, you've come too far. Stop now. Yeah, but I wouldn't want to say that. Why not? He might not have it. See, that's the problem. We're talking Christians now. Living like the world. Victims and the victors. They come Sunday to go to church. What a mighty God we serve. Is he mighty enough to stop fire from destroying your house? Or flood waters from taking it away. I mean, I'm like, whoa, look at this. And then after a while, the Spirit of the Lord inside said, why are you watching what the devil did? I said, okay, yeah, I know. I turned it up, yeah. Because I was getting grieved by the minute. Knowing that it could have been prevented. Now, you're not going to prevent it for the whole city because, you know, you can prevent it for you. Amen. Joshua and Caleb couldn't prevent all those people dying in the desert, but they didn't die in the desert. They entered the promised land and got their inheritance. My goodness. Jesus arose and rebuked the wind. So could you have. So could you have. Like I've said before, every time from now, every time I see an airplane crash, I say to myself, if I'm by myself, I say, "Lord, if I were on that plane, we wouldn't have crashed." Who do you think you are? A child of Almighty God. That's who I think I am. If your child or brother was on that airplane and you were God and you could stop it, would you? See that? That's how I think about that. That's how you should think about that. Does he love you enough for your sake to have done something? If it means the angels coming along and flying that airplane and landing up somewhere on water or something. That's how I think. That's how you should think. This is not being radical. This is garden variety Christianity. Really? The way it ought to be lived. If this book means what it says, we ought to live by it. And he arose, he rebuked the wind. One translation says, it says, hush, hush up, hush now. The Amplified actually says that. For the word rebuke, it says, hush. Woo, glory. My goodness. Authority to say hush to wind. And in his name, you have that authority. If you don't use it, it's not his fault. Not mine either, because I'm telling you about it. And he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said unto the wind, please. Is that what he said? He didn't say please. Would you please stop? He said, peace. In other words, quit it now. Be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. So we'll go from a great storm to a great calm. Because a man full of the Holy Ghost, aware of the will of God, aware of his authority in God, told it to be calm, and it was.
it would work no different for you. If you exercise faith like he did. And here's the proof of it, right here. Here's the proof that you could have done it. Here's the proof that they could have done it. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? Why did you yield to fear? Like I said, this is why many Christians do not use the authority. They are afraid of failure. It might not work. It might make me look bad. Me. It'll make me look bad. Get so self-centered. So captured by their self-image that they let the devil cheat them out of God's glory. Fear. Why were you so fearful? What was the reason for you being fearful? That's what he's saying. Is Jesus been unreasonable? Or could they have done what he did? We weren't afraid. And he's saying, you shouldn't have been afraid either. Why were you afraid? I told you, let's go to the other side. What part of that do you not understand? Why are you waking me up for? Why don't you take care of this? Or why don't you handle this? That's what he's telling them. Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? It doesn't mean literally have no faith. What it really means is, how come you didn't use your faith just like I did mine? Remember now, he did this as a man. Huh? As a man, full of the Holy Ghost and aware of his authority. He did not do this as God. He did just be napping. God does not nap. If they couldn't have done what he just did, he had no business rebuking them. Huh? He was out of order to speak to them like that if they couldn't have done what he just did. Think about this now. He just got through asking them, they were so afraid. The next verse tells us, and they feared exceedingly. They're not getting it, are they? They are not getting this. He just kept asking them, why are you letting fear mess with you? And then he says, they feared exceedingly. My. Why does he want to bother with the likes of us? I mean, you know, that is... And they said, what manner of man is this? The same manner of man that they were. Huh? The same manner of man that they were. He was no different than them. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the wave obey him? And he just got through telling them, the wind and the wave could have obeyed you too. You just didn't dare tell them what to do. The wind and the waves can obey you. So can flood. So can floods. So can fire. Wildfire. Amen. This is real Christianity. Here's another example. Look at Mark 11. It's all over the place. Believers walking in their authority. You remember when he spoke to the tree, right? Mark 11. And the tree did exactly what he happened to what he said. Now last night. Yesterday when I told the water, you come far enough. you know, so I go back, I'm studying, and the thoughts keep coming. You better tell it, it shouldn't rain. I said, no, I already spoke my word. I believe what I just said. I have what I said. I'm not saying another word. I don't care how it happens. Whether it stops raining, or it rains cats and dogs, and the water stops right there, I do not care. I do not. I told you not to use it again. Every now and then I shouldn't do it. Makes me no difference. See, you can't stop praying that God will do it in a certain way. You declare the end result and you leave it at that. Let heaven handle the rest of it. Joshua doesn't know how come the sun stopped and the moon stopped. He just said, stop. That was it. Jesus right here, verse 14, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. He didn't say tree die up, crumble up and die and be gone. He didn't say that. He just spoke the end result. And heaven did the rest. But notice that after they saw that it happened, Peter told him the next day, Peter said, look, what you said happened. Where am I? I'm back at Jesus. Yeah, look at verse 20. Verse 20. Mark 11, 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up. Remember now, remember again, Jesus didn't speak to this tree as God. He did not. He spoke to it as a man. Just like you, just like me. Led by the Spirit of God. That's the difference. He always followed the leading of the Spirit. We don't always do that. That's the only difference. Because if Jesus acted like God of this earth, he would have had to take a nap. And you know he ate with them, right? He got tired. Had to take a nap. Ate fish and all that. So again, they could have done this. And he told them that. Even here, he says the exact same thing he told them back in the boat. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up. Peter called unto them and said, Lord, look, what you said happened. Jesus said, that ain't no big deal, Peter. Have faith in God just like I did. For verily, I say unto you, that whosoever, including you, Peter, whosoever, this just doesn't happen for me. It'll happen for whosoever. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Folks, we're not victims, we're the victors. We have tremendous authority in the name of Jesus to forbid from our lives what's not the will of God. If it's not the will of God, we don't have to mess with it. It doesn't have to mess with us if it's not the will of God. But we have to voice the angels hearken to the word of God, Scripture says. Joshua voiced the will of God, empowered it to come to pass. Jesus rebuked them for not doing what they should have done. Because they likewise could have done it. Same thing in Mark 4, same thing in Mark 11. And that's not the only place. He read the scriptures enough to know. He was walking on water. Peter said, is that you, Lord? He said, yes. May I come up? He said, come. Peter, too, walked on the water. Did he not?
at the command of Jesus. Amen. Not just to show something, you know, show you support. No, no, no. At the command of Jesus. Look at we're at the Mark. Look at Mark 6. Another instance where he came to them. This time he was not with them in the boat. He told them to go the other side, and he stayed praying. And after he was done praying, he started to go. One scripture says he saw them that were in trouble, and began to walk toward them. Mark chapter number 6. Look at verse number 48. Well, look at 45. Let's start from 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side, before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. The earlier one we read about, they sent away the people. Then he got in the boat and he began to go, and then the storm came up. This time, he told them, go over the other side. He sent the people away. And when he had sent them away, he departed into the mountain to pray. He said, now, so how was he going to go over the other side? Well, it was all already planned for. Oh, Jesus. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land, on the other side. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, early in the morning, that is, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea. Glory to God. And here's a sense of humor. Jesus had a great sense of humor, right? And he acted like he was going to go past them. brother. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Fear again. And he went up unto them unto the ship, and the wind ceased. I wonder why. He talked to it, that's why. Huh? He talked to it. And it ceased. And they were amazed again, beyond measure, and wondered. He talked to it. Jesus talked to trees, talked to wind, talked to storms, told them what to do, spoke the will of God, and they obeyed. If you speak the will of God to trees and storms and fires, they will obey. Because what makes them obey is not who is doing the talking. It's whether or not it is the will of God and the faith involved in it. Amen. You are a victor, not a victim. Time is up. Okay, one more scripture, then wrap this up. Look at Matthew 18. Verse 18. Verily I say unto you, Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth, whatsoever, would that include wind and storms and so on? He said, whatsoever. It's in the red, which means Jesus is speaking.
And I'm quoting him, this is him directly speaking. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Heaven agrees with it. Remember now, we talked about you seek the will of God first, right? You inquire of the Lord. You find out, okay, how are we going to proceed with this? Once you get your instructions, heaven will back you up. Headquarters will back you up. Because you're an agent. Heaven's agent. Enforcing the will of God on the earth. You wonder who God's will for that flaw? God didn't create flaws. Flaws came because things have gone haywire. And we are heaven's agents. If the entire city, everybody in the city will cooperate with us, we can stop it, period. Well, until that happens, you can stop it from messing up with your stuff. God didn't bless you for your house with a house, only have flaws taken away. What kind of sense would that make? God didn't bless you with a car to have flood water just wash it down the street. Unless you let it happen. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Amen? Yeah. You are a man, capital M, which applies to all genders, with authority. Use it. Don't let natural desires beat you around. Thank you, Lord. Father, we praise you and we bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That you crown man with glory and virtue. Made us in your image. Deputize us. Marshal us from heaven. Enforcing heaven's will on this earth. Especially as it concerns our lives. And if any would let us, they too would benefit from it. We are not victims, we are victors. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. Blessed, not cursed, blessed to be a blessing. I ask you, Father, give all of us further revelation of the things that you've taught us today. They are reality and not fantasy. The reality of the authority of the believer. In the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father, and we bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My friend, do you know this Jesus who was kind enough to die for you and then give you all his authority if you receive him and walk in it? So that you can be a victor, not a victim. If you don't know him, you can know him today. All it takes is a sincerity of your heart. Hallelujah. So, if you're ready to pray, say this with me. If you mean it, he will come in and be your Savior. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. I invite you in. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to shed his blood on my behalf. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I receive my prayer language. Lead me, dear Jesus, to a church that will teach me how to live a victorious life. Thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My friend, I agree with you, with your new life in Jesus, your health, your finances, your family, your career,
everything about your life will now come into focus, heavenly focus. If you let Him, if you follow Him, follow His lead and His guide, He will give you a grand tour through life. He called that the abundant life. I've come that you may have life and have more abundantly. He stands ready to lead you into abundant life. I suggest you let Him. Amen, amen. If you live anywhere here in the Austin area, come see us. There's plenty of room here for you. And if not, keep watching, because we'll be back here at the same time next week. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I should have told some of the people watching. See, we don't always talk about money, right? Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Whew. Hallelujah. Glory. Words, right? Here's how we voice God's word concerning our finances. Amen?
Amen.
All right, ready to go. Jesus, here's my tithe offering for all my increase. Father, I present my tithe offering to Jesus, my high priest, according to your word. It is my acknowledgement that all that I have comes from you. You have been good and gracious to me. This tithe offering is a token of my appreciation of your provision. You are the God of my abundant supply. Thank you, Father, that the windows of heaven are open unto me according to your word. I believe I receive Marianne's fresh vision and purpose, supernatural favor, divine health and peace, raises, bonuses, and abundance of clients and customers, benefits, favorable salaries, debt freedom, estates and inheritances, interest income, rebates, returns, gifts, good surprises, profitable contracts, expense decreases, blessing and increase. In Jesus' name, amen. So be it. So be it, Father. We agree with your plan. If two shall agree, thank you. We're blessed. We are a blessing. I declare that we have ever-increasing finances. Hallelujah. This time next year, we'll be a lot better off than we are right now. Because of your grace, your wonderful provision and promises. We thank you, Father. We praise you. We bless you. We will do our part and obey your instructions. Handle our money and our financial matters the way you want us to do it. Thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Everybody said, I'm rich.
Rich.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you all so much for your support and your faithfulness. Amen. Amen.